the one that's thrown right to him, but he can then recover and make the interception. That's a heck of an athletic play by Harrison Smith.
Good athlete out of Notre Dame. That being brought to you by Fox. And another Notre Damer back there, another Golden Domer back there, Robert Blanton. We just went back and retrieved some numbers from Mr. Blanton himself. He was the 30th ranked, actually tied for 29th in the league in tackles with 106 tackles. One interception. Not bad.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, when you consider that the top guy in the National Football League was Luke Kuechly, who is a tackling machine.
He's a beast.
And 153 tackles.
Did he lead the Vikings in tackles, do you know?
He did.
Blanton led the Vikings in tackles.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. So, I mean, that's a lot of tackles. That's coming up and not being in a, you know, he's got his big boy shoulder pads on.
There's a reason. I mean, we've gone over possible players and positions, whether it be left guard, left tackle, middle linebacker, running back, possible free agents in draft choices that we think the Minnesota Vikings should go after.
Yep.
There's a reason why safeties are one of the last positions we're talking about with the NFL free agency in the new league year set to open on the 10th next week, with March 7th, a week from today, basically being the first day that NFL teams can, what do they call it, collude, or the, what's it called now? Because they can actually talk to players three days before.
A little collusion, a little, they can correspond with players and agents. So they can talk.
Which they weren't supposed to do before that until the actual day that free agency opened. Now,
correct,
obviously the NFL and everybody knew it was happening, so they can't agree to anything, but we'll start hearing things in 5 days from now, which is this weekend.
Start talking.
So it'll be interesting as we run down the top seven free agent possibilities for strong safety. Stevie Brown from the New York Giants, we've talked about. Sergio Brown, the Indianapolis Colts. Mike Adams, the Indianapolis Colts. Denoris Searcy from the Buffalo Bills. We've got the top three, and then a couple of people we'll talk about coming into the NFL draft. But we do have a call from Joey from Cambridge. You want to talk about the free agent safeties? Hey, Joey, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Doing good.
Good. What I was saying, I would keep Blanton, and you guys are just talking now about how you already talked about other positions, but what I would do is go after Darnell Dockett.
Okay, why?
He's a good player. Arizona Cardinals played 11 years in the desert.
I just think with that offensive line would be very scary, and especially in the NFC North, going after quarterbacks, I think that would just add a lot to our team, and that's what I would do.
But Superstar, don't you think that if there's one area of strength on the entire team, wouldn't you say it's the defensive line?
Pretty formidable.
Especially in the middle. I mean, Linval Joseph didn't have the greatest of years, but he's big and fat, and he clogs up the run defense.
He's big and fat, but he got shot, too.
Yeah, he did get shot in the leg. But Tom Johnson, you love him. He had six sacks last year. Sharif Floyd.
Six and a half sacks, yeah. And Sharif had probably four.
Yeah, and
four
then,
and a half.
What is it? Sharif Stevens or?
Stevens.
Steven Sharif.
Another good one. Another good one. I mean, I've been saying for the longest
Shamar
time.
Stephen. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Pretty stacked up the middle there. I don't think we
Andre
need anybody.
Loves him. Oh, yeah. I think they're in pretty good shape on the defensive line. I think that if you bring an 11-year guy, I think he's still got some good years left in him. Again, price tag, because he does bring winning football. He had an ACL last year, though, in training camp, and missed all of last season.
Think of a character.
Did Dockett. And he's a player.
He's a character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some football left in him. Depends on what you need at the time. I don't know if we have that particular need, though.
No, I don't think we necessarily.
We got a lot of players out here.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Joey. You're always welcome to call any of you, 651-989-9105. Moving on to the top three safeties available in this year's free agent class.
By the way, Harrison Smith, just for your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
93 tackles combined. Four interceptions, though. I'm sorry, five. Five interceptions.
He's good.
He's a good player.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I would say probably one of, maybe my favorite Viking. I think my favorite Viking, Teddy Bridgewater, though. I'm jumping on that bandwagon just like everybody else.
Fun to watch.
Harrison Smith is a good player. Love him to death. Top three safeties available in this year's free agent class.
Yep.
We get into the big money players now that we're in the top three. Antron Roll, New York Giants, produces, starts, interceptions, sacks, tackles. He does it all. 26 interceptions, 10 seasons. He's long, 6 feet tall, 206 pounds, fast. He explodes out of breaks. Three-time Pro Bowler, gets the job done, can play in any type of coverage at free safety. Again, we have a free safety already.
Harrison Smith. Just talked about him, and he's real deal. Roll is a big-time player. He's played 10 years, started off in the desert. We just talked about Darnell Dockett having played there. Roll started out there with Dennis Green. played 10 years, and now finds himself with the Giants. So, I mean, he's a good player.
And he's going to get a lot of money.
He's a good player.
Something that I don't think he necessarily fits in the Vikings scheme of the way that they're trying to build this defense.
I think he'd fit in almost anyone's scheme, but you're right, money is money. I think he can play safety about as well as anybody can on this list. I mean, it certainly is one of the top players. That would be the top of all of the safeties I've heard thus far, no question.
Okay.
But how many more years does he have like that? Can you pay him that much money? It's going to cost you a lot.
Number two, Raheem Moore, Denver Broncos. Young guy, four-year career, 8 interceptions, 171 tackles. He's improved each season, just 25 years old. Still has room to grow. Athletic, big enough to be a tackler. He has the skills to anchor a secondary at free safety.
Now, is that over 2 years?
Four.
That's over 171 tackles in 4 years?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's a real deal. He's young, and so he might be, you know, the kind of guy that you could come in here. If it was going to cost you a little more because he's out of a rookie contract, then of course, it's going to cost you there, too, because he has been producing. And he has been turning out. But the numbers, 171 tackles over 4 years. I mean, Blanton's got 106 for last season.
Yeah.
I mean, he had like 8 interceptions, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Robert's not exactly a ball hawk, but we have that guy with the free safety back there.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think Blanton gets better. I really do. I hope he stays healthy. That's been an issue for Robert Blanton.
Number one on the top free agent safeties, this year's NFL free agency class, Devin McCourty. Devin McCourty, I know you love him. New England Patriots.
Yeah, he's a player. And we skipped on him. We had a chance to get him, too.
Draft him?
Yeah, we had a chance to draft him. I think the Lions got him first. A really good football player.
The Lions drafted Devin McCourty?
Or the Giants. One of the two. The Giants or the Lions. One of the two. But we had a shot at him, I believe, in the draft. He's a player. I don't think he's going to move from New England, though. I think he'll be with... New England will find a way to bring him back, for sure. I don't think they're going to let him go.
Yeah, he was drafted by the New England Patriots in 2010, but I think he has a brother, doesn't he?
I thought it was the same McCourty that played with Detroit.
No, I think that's his brother.
Okay,
can't remember which McCourty is that. Do you remember?
Wish I knew. I thought there was only one, but I will say this: the guy that we're talking about right now, McCourty, with New England, we saw him make a lot of plays. Now there's no question he's going to be the top guy coming at that position into free agency. So, you know, he's going to stand to make top dollar. What are you willing to do? I get it. Always comes down to how many years do you still have left in the league, and what do you bring to the table, and what will the team value you at and actually write you a check for?
Jason McCourty played for the Tennessee Titans. I know there's another McCourty somewhere in there.
I think so.
Anyway,
call us if you know who that is.
Yeah, 651-989-9105. Let's move to the draft possibilities. We've talked before about Landon Collins, the safety from Alabama. He can hit. 103 tackles, 7 passes broken up, 3 interceptions this last year. Strong safety type who will do really well playing in the tackle box. He's not a deep free safety threat. In fact, that could hurt him on draft day because he struggles to cover receivers and tight ends and man coverage. And he seems to be slipping already. You know, you see those players move up and down the big board, the NFL mock draft board. He seems to be slipping already as it is. Projected round 1 or 2, Landon Collins, safety, Alabama. Your thoughts?
He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's an absolute monster. Anyone that comes up in that defensive scheme of things in Alabama, you have to love him. I mean, C.J. Mosley, all these guys that have come out of there in the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a dynasty. The top talent goes to Alabama. Saban has the top kids. And when he gets them there, they get better. They just get, every year they get better. He turns out a lot of professional, top-notch, you know, professional talent. And, you know, we've seen him play in some big games. He will make a play now. He's a hitter and he has great ball instincts. And, you know, he's going to be able to cover people. He does have a ways to go as far as covering and singling out on a, I'd say a tight end or someone coming down the middle that is a physical mismatch. But certainly he's got the ability. He's got exactly what you're looking for.
The next possible target for the Minnesota Vikings could be Jared Holloman. He's a safety out of Louisville, 6'2", 213, 40 time, 4.63, expected to go in the second or third round. Had a massive 2014 season for Louisville, replacing Kelvin Pryor. You remember him. NFL safety, got drafted last year. One of the breakout players in college football this year, led the nation with 14 interceptions. Also had 40 tackles and 3 passes broken up. Like I said, again, expected to go in the second or third round.
Big timer. Huge numbers. 14 interceptions in this past year.
Yeah.
Teddy, I mean, Ted, give him a call. Ted Bridgewater, get on down there. Give Home Slice a call there, man. Get him up in here. Recruit him, Ted.
Come on, Ted.
Get up and get after it.
I have a question for you. Where's Samford? Not Stanford. Samford.
I don't know. I don't know.
Jaquiski Tartt out of Samford, safety, 6'1", 220 pounds, expected to go in the second through fourth round. Impressive skill set. In fact, he totaled 62 tackles, one pass broken up, one interception this season, was solid against Auburn. Got some pretty good size, plus the speed to cover a lot of ground. Could start at a strong safety early in his NFL career and eventually develop into one of those versatile defenders who could play free safety as well. Samford.
6'2", 223?
Yeah.
Wow. That's some payload there. I mean, that's a load. That's what they want in a safety. They want someone coming up in there and just intimidating the middle of that field and making people decide whether or not they want to catch the ball over the middle or anywhere near him.
Samford is a place you want to go if you want to look for the honeys, because not only is it in Alabama where they've got the sweet Southern Bells, it only costs $27,324 to go there. 35% male, 65% female.
Yeah, where do you sign up?
Yeah.
I mean,
private school, obviously.
All you have to do is just, like, get recruited now. Come
Samford.
On. Let's go to Samford, everybody.
Bring on the honeys.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad ratio if you're a young man looking to go to school and play football and date.
Only 4,900 students going there. Unfortunately, you have to live in Alabama.
Yeah, there is that. I don't want that. I don't think that. You know what? I want someone who's played bigger games. I know he had a good game against Auburn. You got to do better than that, though. Every week.
But if you get him out of the fourth round as depth to somebody who can grow in, I mean, like you said, he is a beast. He's huge.
He's a monster. Yeah, his numbers sound great.
You've talked me off the ledge. I think Robert Bland should come back for the strong safety.
Not a bad little player. I mean, just keep working with him. I love Zimmer and this defense to work with guys like that. And, I mean, I think he's a player now. We've got other issues on the defense. I'm sure Zimmer would tell you about. They always remain in the tub too long and don't want to get out of the tub and go play football. And we can talk about that maybe a little bit later. But Robert Blanton is not one of those guys. When he's injured, he's been injured for a while, but he gets out there and he plays and he produces. So let's kind of just weigh into that before we jump. We need a middle linebacker for sure.
Yeah.
And another corner would be great, because I don't really care for the guy on the other side of the ball away from Xavier Rhodes.
Trey Waynes, everybody.
Yeah, baby. That would be the one, Michigan State. Let's come on back. We'll get Jim Rich on the phone, won't we? We'll call Jim Rich? Let's do it. He's down in Florida?
Yeah.
Wow. Lucky Jim Rich. I want to be rich, just like Jim Rich. Next.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Live long and prosper.
It's just what it is, but you know, you could feel that was going that way all game long. You know, they were obviously very emotional all game long, and I thought that in an emotional type of game, I thought that we did a good job keeping our focus, and I really think that was probably the difference then.
You need serious professional help.
I think I'm just fine, really. It's been said.
That's the first time
times.
You know you have a problem is denial.
Yeah. It's the problem. I saw a shrink last week, and he said, Mike, I think you're crazy. And I said, well, if you don't mind, I'd like a second opinion. He said, all right, then you're ugly, too.
Oh,
we have Jim Rich joining us now from Florida. Spring
yes,
training
sir.
Camp. And, Jim, you're one of our favorites here. I don't know why, but you are.
Was that some of your original material that's going to be on the new album?
Well, I thought I'd just throw a little sneak peek. Hell nah, that's NAH. Hell nah. No.
No coaching for you.
Yeah, I don't need anything. What's going on down there? Any coaching going on? Anyone getting better down there with the Minnesota Twins? You're down there in spring training, Fort Myers.
It is a beautiful night. It is ridiculous how nice it is down here. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, look at the time. We got to go. Shut up.
Exactly. I think the Radioactive Sports is ready for a road trip, and this is it.
Well,
I think you're right. I think this is it. I think we should combine forces, Fox 9 and 105 The Ticket, simulcast from Fort Myers.
Oh.
And we would just provide coverage that no one would believe. Ben would be down at the beach. He would do the spring break scene. And Mike and I would be over here at the ballpark.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a great. We'd have two live locations and just go back and forth. It would be perfect.
I know Fort Myers Beach pretty well. It's that long drive. I don't know if you've been to the beach in Fort Myers, but that long drive on that that bridge, if you don't get down there early, it'll take you forever. And then when you do get down there, it's just a bunch of blue hairs anyway. So I don't really necessarily need to be at the beach. I will. You guys can be at the baseball stadium. I'll be in right field at that new bar. Have you stopped by there yet, Jim?
Unfortunately, the tappers are not hooked up yet, but I have been looking at them.
The tappers are not hooked up yet.
Why aren't they hooked up, for God's sakes? They finished that thing down, I want to say, last year.
Oh, I know that, but they're smart enough not to leave cold beer on tap out there unguarded with us in the media here. They would go over there and start helping ourselves. Well, so they're smart enough to keep them locked up over there. But they're ready to go for Wednesday night when the Gophers come here for the opener of the Grapefruit League season.
Wow, it's going to be fun. And, of course, you would be over there helping yourself to a beverage or two if they didn't have a lock and key on that thing.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, it's America's favorite pastime, especially Jim Rich's. I mean, you pick up a beer and he's already having a great pastime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eventually it'll be passed out time.
Well spoken by a man who can speak on that subject, Jim Rich.
Heard that.
That's what you've been told. What's going on down there anyway? I mean, who looks good? Who doesn't look good? Who's mailing it in?
Well, you know what's actually going on here is, okay, we're in Florida, right? It's 75, 80 degrees. You think this would be the last place there would be a flu outbreak. But that's what's going on right now for the Twins. They sent five players home today that were dealing with flu-like symptoms, including Kurt Suzuki, Oswaldo Arcia, Trevor May. I mean, these are key people.
Byron Buxton.
That have been knocked down by this. And Torrey Hunter, he left today and didn't speak to the media. I pleaded with him. I go, Torrey, everybody wants to hear from you. He goes, if I stand still, I may throw up. I'm going to stay here anymore.
Wow.
So it's going through, and, the flu in the old people is not a good recipe down here.
Apparently not. Are you going to be okay down there? Are we going to call you sometime, and you're going to have the big spit on us?
Yeah, I got the IV going right now.
You have an IV?
I'll be okay.
Well, we're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. Jim's down at Twin Spring Training in Florida. And, Jim, I obviously there are a couple more questions we want to talk to you about the Twins, but we want to get in Minnesota Wild news today, a very hectic day, and you're our go-to guy for the Minnesota Wild. But when it comes down to the Minnesota Twins and their first game coming up Wednesday night against the Gophers, and they start getting into, to exhibition play, and then before you know it, they're going to be playing here at Target Field. We're going to be sipping beers. It's going to be 75 here in Minneapolis instead of wishing and wanting it to be 75 where you are. In fact, we're going to get 2 to 4 inches of snow here tomorrow, so you miss a good week to be gone.
Yeah, all right, here, I'll give you the serious news, what I've found out so far. We had Terry Ryan last night on Fox 9 Sports Now, and I asked him about Buxton and Sano, and I said, everybody wants to see these guys up there. And usually he doesn't make predictions, he's always pretty dry, but he said that he expects to see both Buxton and Sano at Target Field sometime this year. For him going that far out on the limb, and he says, look, we have to win now. He says, we didn't spend the money we spent on Irvin Santana to lose 90 games again. This team is under the pressure to win, and he says, I fully expect us to be in playoff contention at the end of the year. And again, that's something that, if you guys know Terry Ryan, which you both do, he doesn't throw that stuff out there. He's usually very guarded in what he says. But he feels that this is the right group, and he thinks that, these youngsters are going to have another year under their belt, and the pitching will be better. And, last year the Twins offensively were 7th, 8th best in the American League, but you didn't realize that because their starting pitchers were the worst. They were 30th in baseball. So the runs really didn't mean anything, so you lost 8-4 or 8-6, Now, if they get into the position where those runs mean something, hopefully those starting pitchers will give them the opportunity to win.
And if Joe Maurer comes back and has the kind of season that he's very capable of still doing, you have to be in pretty good shape at the offensive side of things again as well, Jim. But, you know, it's an amazing thing. Terry Ryan actually speaking on that and not being facetious, and he's always very careful about what he says. He will tell you what's going on, and he'll speak his mind, but he won't say something that he shouldn't say or make some sort of prediction that he has no business saying. He's always very straight and to the point, and he gives us pretty good information anytime we have him on. And again, he's brutally honest sometimes, but he will not just say something to say it. He's very selective as the way he chooses his words.
Yeah, he's very guarded in what he puts out there. You know, he never says, well, I expect Phil Hughes to win 20 games. I mean, he doesn't put things out there unless he truly believes it. And, you know, he said, hey, I'm sick and tired of losing. I fired my friend because of what's going on. I'm serious about this. He says, this team has to turn it around. We have too many people disinterested in Twins baseball to keep this going. We have a ballpark. We have a huge fan base that needs to be entertained. And he says, right now, we're not doing that.
Jim Rich from Fox 9, you were live down there last night during Fox 9 Sports Now segment at 10:35 on Sunday nights. Love to see the color. Looks like you got a haircut. You already had a little bit of a tan going on, but the pitchers and catchers for the Twins have been down in Fort Myers for a week already. And I'm most concerned with Ricky Nolasco and hoping he has a bounce back year. I think if he bounces back, the Twins pitching staff can do all right. Any information you have on Ricky Nolasco? You've been down there for, what, 24, 36 hours? Anything you've picked up on Ricky Nolasco yet?
Well, we haven't spoken with him yet, but looking at him, he actually looks slimmed down. He looks like he's in shape. And I think, you know, having guys like Eddie Guardado around here and Molitor that's going to crack the whip more on these guys and a new pitching coach, I think he realizes that, you know, he embarrassed himself last year with the Twins. He did pitch better in September. Terry Ryan said he likes what he's seen so far in the sessions that he's watched to this point. But truly, and Ryan admitted this too, that when a pitcher comes from the National League to the American League, it's often tougher. So for Phil Hughes to stay in the American League, he was able to make a transition to this team quicker. He said because, you know, you get the free outs. You get to pitch to the pitcher. You don't have the designated hitter. So in the American League, it's a lot tougher lineup to get out. And he said they do take that into consideration when they sign free agents from the National League, how they're going to do here. And they didn't get it right with Nolasco last year. Hopefully they got it this time around.
Jim Rich, can I ask a very special favor of you?
Absolutely.
Would you please, and I do mean this, I'm on one knee right now. You can't see from Florida, but I am on one knee right now asking you to stay one more segment. Would you please do that and talk a little Wild hockey with us?
Sure. I can
do
that.
Oh, my God. Well, that was easy.
Wow, this is.
Do you know what the phone bill is from down here? I got to get some more quarters out of my pocket.
Well,
hang on.
Yeah, I mean, do what you got to do. I mean, walk on down to that bar and see if you can break a roll of quarters and load the phone up.
I have $13 in pennies. Bob Sansevier lost a bet to me for the Minnesota Vikings, the record. We had a bet, and he bet me 1,300 pennies, and he dropped them off today. Superstar, I got to go bring him into the studio here. Honest to God, he brought me 1,300 pennies, that bastard.
That's awful.
So I can donate it to the cause, but we got so excited with you down in Florida talking Twins baseball, we completely didn't even have time to ask you about the Minnesota Wild and the flurry of action that they've had today, and we know that's your forte, so we have to talk to you about it next, okay?
Perfect.
Okay, then. We will return with Jim Rich live from spring training to talk about the Minnesota Wild a little bit and why my daughters didn't write a letter for me to get me back for another couple years. I don't know. Maybe they just don't care as much. But pretty cute what went down to get the Leopold back. Come on back, and we'll tell you all about that right here on Radioactive Sports.
Leopold on for Savard. The screen is set in front of Hutchinson. Less than 10 seconds left. Quick shot. There's scores! Power play goal!
And Chris Stewart just outskates Adam Party for the puck, but an excellent job all the way back into the zone by the block shot by Marcus Foligno, and Chris Stewart anticipating coming with speed and getting ahead of Party for the breakaway.
All that audio thanks to NHL.com, by the way.
And rejoining the show, Radioactive Sports, is none other than Jim Rich from Fox 9. Jim Rich has approved of his services to come back and actually talk a little Minnesota Wild hockey. A few transactions going. One of those, of course, being Jordan Leopold, to someone that you know, Jim.
Yeah, this is a great story. Jordan gets to come home, play for the Wild as he finishes up his career. I mean, this is a guy that, as we talked about earlier last week, the Wild, Chuck Fletcher, looking for depth, trying to make sure that he has enough bodies should this team make the playoffs, should they get into a playoff series. And we've seen all the injuries that they've had to deal with this year, especially to defensemen lately. So this is a great addition, and his agent, he gets nothing. His daughter should get all the money for this deal.
And his daughter wrote an email that were a letter to Wild Coach. It says, "Dear Minnesota Wild Coach, my name is Jordan Leopold. It's spelled differently with a Y instead of a Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N. One of the Columbus Blue Jackets defensemen is my dad. He's very lonely without his family. We're living in Minnesota right now, and I'm lost without my dad, and so is my mom and two sisters and my brother. My dad's on a team with young guys and very lonely," basically saying, "Well, to get to the point, the Wild have not been winning as many games, and you lovely coaches are most likely mad about that. Your team needs more defensemen, so can you please, please, please ask the Jackets if you can get them? Thanks, love, Jordan Leopold." When was that letter written? Do you know, Jim?
Well, what I've seen on Twitter and social media today is that she wrote the letter in January, never sent it, but her mom posted it on Facebook for her family and friends, and, oh, isn't this cute? And mom said it brought a tear to her eye when she read it, and she posted it to show her in-laws, and then all of a sudden somehow it got out today that letter was written, and now it's all over the place. It's getting picked up by Sports Illustrated, New York Post. It's remarkable how it's caught fire, but it's pretty cool that a little kid puts it out there. Obviously, it had nothing to do with the transaction, but that little child thinks she did a lot for her dad today.
And you know what? It's still, if you read it verbatim, I mean, it still comes across that way, that they actually may have looked at it and said, yeah, you know what? We know that kid. Yeah, maybe we can bring him in here. Maybe there's a shot there, you know? I mean, I don't know, but it's funny how things do work out, and this is ironic that it did actually take place and it worked out. And I didn't realize that these players would take off for a whole season, Jim, and play a season away with their family back home. But I guess if your kids are in school and you like the schools here better, then obviously that forces the issue of staying or not.
But you think about it, Jim, and he's played in 7 different teams during his NHL career, so you want to have your, you know, your family and superstar. You know, you kind of bounced around for a little bit before you found a home here with the Minnesota Vikings. You don't want to move your family every 3 months.
No, you don't. You really don't. And I was lucky not to have had a lot of my kids by the time I got here to Minnesota, and then of course everything leveled out and I played 9 years here, so the rest of my children came as I played here with the Vikings. I only had Steven, though, coming in from Cleveland, and he was only about 1 year.
So he wasn't
1 year,
you 1 year
didn't
have
old.
To pull him away from his friends or anything like that.
Yeah,
he wasn't even in daycare.
They were school years. Yeah.
Jim, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these NHL players, when they find a place and that they call home, and you know, the guys travel so much, the schedule is so grueling. Even when you're home, you're not really home. So I think a lot of times they'll locate near relatives, near mom and dad, and that's what the Leopolds did. And, you know, as you said, he'd been traded so much that there wasn't really stability in his career that, you know what, we're going to be in this town for a while. He keeps bouncing around, and so this is what they decided to do. And you see NHLers that don't even live in Minnesota. Once they've been here for a while, they put their roots down and they stay here. So I thought it was a pretty good decision on his part. And, you know, with that many children and moving around, he'd have to buy a stock in U-Haul to pay for it all.
No kidding. We're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9, and the Wild made 2 moves today, but we're still talking about the first one. Jordan Leopold coming back to Minnesota, obviously national championship with the Gophers back in 2002. The first question I have for you is, now that they have, it seems like, too many defensemen, which one is going to take a seat, or is Leopold not expected to come in here and play very often, or are they going to sit down one of the younger guys, Dumba, Follin, Prosser? I mean, how are they going to fit all these guys in? Because looks like they have 8 NHL-caliber defensemen for about 6 to 7 spots.
Yeah, well, now it's time to show it on the ice when you get a chance to play. Show it in practice that you deserve to play. Leopold's very good on the power play, so that may be something that they're going to look at as far as helping out that second unit. But, you know, Dumba is a raw rookie. So is Folan. So, you know, those guys could show cracks in their game, and they may need to be set down for a little bit. Foster always seems to be on the bubble, but he's been playing better as of late. So, you know, this will give Mike Yo options, but it seems like with the Wild, people get hurt, and so you barely have enough bodies to get on the ice. So I think they'll be able to work it out and keep the team in good shape. And, you know, this is what you need when you get to the playoffs because it's so grueling night in and night out. You need different people with different talents to try to advance through the rounds.
So you have to give a lot of credit to Chuck Fletcher, who has that insight and who plans on being in the playoffs, obviously. And just when we thought that maybe there wouldn't be a trade or anything really happening, any activity at all, and just going to war with the guys that got you here, it's changed up quite a bit more than we thought it ever would be. Fletcher making some moves, posturing himself for the playoffs and what he would need body-wise to get through the playoffs and deep into the playoffs, let's hope. But that goes to show you what kind of GM we do actually have here with the Wild. I mean, I think he's one of the best GMs we've had in this town. Would you agree?
Yeah, I really like the way he's been able to maneuver things. You know, getting Chris Stewart is adding some more toughness. We saw the team get bounced around by Colorado last Saturday night. Even though they won the game, they took a beating in that one. Stewart's a big body guy. He's a guy who can give you a little of that grit, a little of that fortitude that you need. So when Cody McLeod decides to jump Michael Granlund, there's somebody there to jump him. That's what you need. That's what they're looking at. And, you know, hopefully it'll continue that, his toughness will carry on into the next year. And he only gave up a second round pick in 2017. So that means he's got a couple of years to make trades to get that pick back if it's something that he really wants.
Jim Rich from Fox 9, Mike and I have been talking about this earlier today and obviously through the hallways most of the day here at the radio station. And obviously the cool, chic thing for us Minnesota team, our professional sports teams, are to bring back names. The Wild have done it now. Obviously, there was Zach Parise, JP's son. He played for North Dakota. Obviously, we know that. Thomas Vanek played for the Gophers. Now, Jordan Leopold, of course, we know about Torrey Hunter and Kevin Garnett, and Randy Moss, and this and that. What are your thoughts on constantly bringing back names that have connections to the Midwest?
I don't think I think in the Wolves case, that was the objective of that trade. They're obviously not going to the playoffs. They need to get a buzz going around this franchise. You know, the Twins trying to change the culture here with Hunter. But you remember last year they tried to do it with Jason Bartlett and Jason Kubel, and those two guys flamed out miserably, and it was a horrible experiment. So, I mean, I think if the guys have something to offer the teams, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, a lot of the Wild players know Leopold because they work out with each other in the off season. So I'm sure Fletcher kind of tested the water with the rest of the club and said, hey, what do you guys think of this guy? And same thing with Chris Stewart. He's played with Pominville and Vanek when they were in Buffalo. And so he's the guy that he can go down and say, hey, what's the real scoop on Stewart? What do you guys think? And, you know, so I think he, you know, doesn't go exactly with what the players tell him, but it certainly gives him input on it as to how he's going to approach this.
Jim, I'm telling you right now, I mean, just going off of what you're seeing and the kind of people that we're building up and the kind of talent pool that he's putting together down here with the Wild, how far do you think we're making it to the playoffs? A sure thing? And how deep can a team like this go after the kind of outing they had against Nashville?
Well, it's real funny. Before you answer that, Jim, because I want you to answer that question, when Chris Stewart was first told that he was traded to the Minnesota Wild on TSN, he was on the phone. He said, good. Well, I mean, to be exact, I can't remember the exact words, Jim, but he said, great, I can't wait to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy who's had a rough season, although the last half of the year he's been pretty good and has picked it up both in the physical play and the offensive production. So it should be a good fit for this team. I mean, Sean Bergenheim is throwing his weight around, and that's what you need if you're going up against an Anaheim, a St. Louis, teams like that. To answer Mike's question, taking injuries off the table, this is a playoff team. But if Dubnyk goes down, you're right back to the bottom of the league. So, I mean, that you're one bad injury away derailing this whole thing. But right now, it looks pretty good. I mean, for them to respond in Nashville after that horrible game against Edmonton, and then to take a team that was running at you the whole night and dealing with the egregious attack of the Avalanche and still come away with the win, I think this team really is feeling pretty good about themselves.
I do too, and there just is no way that Fletcher could find another goalkeeper just in case something like that would happen to Dubnyk. With all the goalkeepers we have around here, there's no way of settling with anybody and getting them out of the way. I guess not.
No, I don't think you can bring another one in right now.
No, you can't do that, can you? Jim, thank you for your time, then. Thanks for giving us an extra segment. We can't get enough of you.
Oh, no, I can't get enough of you guys. I'm going to go work on the tapper now over here in right field and see if I can get this baby.
Well, God knows you can't get enough of that.
And yeah, no kidding, go rig it and just put your mouth underneath it. You're down in Florida all week, aren't you?
Through Thursday.
All right, we'll call you again tomorrow. Make sure you eat some pan-seared scallops for me. I love those down there.
All right, we'll take care of that for you.
All right, see
you. There it is. There he goes, Fort Myers guy.
I love him.
Jim Rich. You want to do the epic athletes?
Sure.
And the breakups here in this town?
Sure.
You want to do that
or
not? Or do you want to go into a top 10 list with me? Take your choice right now.
You choose. You're the leader.
You know what? I'll put that at my 6:30 break, the top 10 top 10 undrafted free agents.
Okay.
That'll be coming up at 6:30. You guys can line yourself up and try and take a stab at my list, if you will. Or rather, if you want to. And then we're going to do the epic athlete breakups in Twin Cities history next.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back. We have an interesting subject matter to cover with you people. We being Radioactive Sports, me being the superstar Mike Morris, that over there being Ben Holson, manned up by the lovely and talented Sam Sansevier. She'll be taking your calls. If you ever need to make a phone call, that's who you'll be calling. You give us the call at 651-989-9105, if you will. If you want to be part of the conversation later on in the show, as I mentioned, 6:30, we'll be talking about the top 10 undrafted free agents in NFL history. You can also tweet us if you want to and give us your reaction that way. That's fine. At 105 The Ticket. You can do it that way. But first and foremost, epic athlete breakups in Twin Cities history. Don't know where you're going to go with this, but I've got a few things to add.
Well, simply because we might be going down that route with Adrian Peterson. We have no idea how this thing is going to shake out by any means.
No, we don't.
Since last Thursday and Judge Doty overturning the NFL judgment on Adrian Peterson, he's back on the commissioner's exempt list. However, Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer can talk to him again. They weren't able to during his suspension. He said things like, I'm uneasy about coming back to the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, the rumors of a possible change of scenery, maybe going to the Dallas Cowboys or wherever he might end up, that might happen, and it might be an epic breakup. We've had one recently with Kevin Love, and you saw how it happened, how it all went down when he came back with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Minnesota Timberwolves fans packed Target Center, booed him every chance they could get, cheered Mike Miller, but there have been several of them. Percy Harvin, I would say is number five on the breakup list. Following the 2012-2013 season, the Vikings traded Percy Harvin to the Seattle Seahawks. He didn't like Christian Ponder. He wasn't happy with where the team is going. We got first, third, and seventh round draft picks. He had a hip injury that year. He was always injured here with some sort of migraine or something anyway. Played one regular season game the next year. Got healthy in time to put a stamp on the Super Bowl. 87-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And then again, wore out his welcome in Seattle. They ended up trading him to the New York Jets for a fourth round draft pick. And Percy Harvin likely on his way out of the New York Jets as well.
That's kind of what we got going. That's what we're hearing anyway, is that he might be done with the Jets. He's a problem child. I mean, there's no question about it. Now, well beyond all the other issues that he had or supposedly had physically with the migraine headaches and whatnot, he's one of those guys in the locker room that you don't know what's going to come next. And there's probably an awful lot we don't know about Percy Harvin behind the scenes, but some of the things we do know is he's got a temper. He's got a temper. He's gone off on some coaches before. Two that we know of. Head coaches here, Brad Childress and Leslie Frazier. Now, I don't know what it could have possibly been in Seattle with the kind of Super Bowl that he had and literally, you know, putting icing on the cake by returning the second half of that Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos, the distance. I mean, that is an electrifying talent still in the National Football League. Got dealt off. Just dealt off. Just in the middle of the night, gone. You have to really screw up to be one of those guys. And now they're already talking that way in New York. I mean, are they bitter departures? Probably for the player, but certainly not for the teams involved. I mean, they're glad to get rid of him.
I think the fans, too, at the same point. But I would say that of being the epic breakups, they certainly get more aggressive as we go on. And the New York Jets are rumored to be cutting Percy Harvin again, and they're rumored to be wanting to go after Randall Cobb. But we'll move on. We'll talk about that a different time. Number four on this list, Randy Moss. Two breakups with the Minnesota Vikings. The first time the Vikings traded Moss to the Raiders for linebacker Napoleon Harris in the 7th overall pick in the 2005 draft. Got Troy Williamson. He was absolutely terrible. 5 years later, though, they traded a third-rounder to the Patriots to get him back here, just like a similar Kevin Garnett situation, only for head coach Brad Childers to cut him 4 games later, cost Brad Childers his job. The fallout, obviously, Randy Moss, non-factor in Tennessee when he signed there. I believe he was claimed on waivers. A bit player for the San Francisco 49ers a year later. Childers fired less than a month after releasing Moss, in part because he reportedly didn't consult with team owners. I don't think fans were ever upset with Randy Moss.
They weren't.
These next three players, fans get pretty fired up about the certain player coming back.
Childress was trying to make a statement by saying, you know what, no one's above the law, no one's above me. I'm the power here. I'm definitely going to be the disciplinarian, which it really kind of should be. But you still have to go and talk with the top guy who's writing all the checks, because I suppose that cost him a little bit of money. I'm guessing.
Well, that, and I think the fan backlash for the fans going, wait a second here. We gave up a third round draft pick. We wanted Randy Moss back. We were so excited, and now he's gone. Why?
Mm-hmm. And that was why Brad lost his job. Randy was happy about being back. I talked with him before his first game began, down on the field. He comes up from behind me and jumps on my back. I turn around. It's him wearing the helmet with the gloves tucked between the face mask. That was his deal. And so the super freak was just saying, you know, hi to me in that country bumpkin way of doing it. Good kid.
But his teeth were beautiful the second time around.
Yeah.
He had nice teeth.
He had braces for most of his time here.
Yeah.
He did.
His teeth,
but anyway, he's a, God, what a great talent, though. And I do miss the kid, and I think he had a lot of football. I still think he could play the game.
I think
he can still play the game.
Number three on this list, obviously, Kevin Love. We were just through that situation this last summer. He didn't want to be here. He was canceling events at the All-Star game. He was supposed to play in the Celebrity All-Star game. Said he didn't want to play in a franchise anymore that was just constantly losing. We traded him to the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Cavaliers, excuse me. Got Andrew Wiggins back. Obviously, the fans booed him when he came back with the Cleveland Cavaliers, like I like to call him the Cleveland the Bronze. Cheered Mike Miller, obviously, as kind of a slap in the face to Kevin Love. But, I mean, that was an aggressive breakup.
There are two types of bitter. Was it bitter from the player having to be shipped off and mad about it? No, I mean, Love wanted out of here. It was bitter for us because, well, we thought we had a pretty good player here, but he couldn't lead. It was disappointing for us because we didn't know what we were going to get back. As it turned out, guess who got jobbed? I think Cleveland got jobbed again, and we ended up pretty good on that trade. And we got some really nice players out of that mix, and it's going to be the nucleus of something I think that could be pretty special around here for a long time.
Me too. Number two on this list, Stephon Marbury. You remember that. You were a Timberwolves season ticket holder. Wouldn't sign a contract extension ahead of free agency in 1999. The Wolves traded him to New Jersey in a multi-team deal, taking back Terrell Brandon and Brian Evans. Obviously, Marbury got to be the man somewhere else, though, but seldomly on a good team. Made the playoffs just 3 times after leaving Minnesota. Thwarted by better point guards in 3 spots, the Nets traded him for Jason Kidd. The Suns let him walk for Steve Nash. And when he finally got to his hometown Knicks, he found himself under the dysfunctional reign of Isaiah Thomas. That was a mess. All of this, though, happy ending for Stephon Marbury, who found a second wind in China.
Yeah.
Won 2 titles, ascended to superstardom, and appeared on I Am Marbury, which is a musical based on his life. But, I mean, growing up, you never thought Stephon Marbury's like, I can't wait till I can become a superstar in basketball in China. Come on.
I think that he is the epitome. Stephon Marbury is the epitome of selfishness and ego in many ways, because he just was not going to be on a team that was going to be run by, or they're going to be star-studded with somebody else other than him. He wanted to be the guy, and he also said that he wanted to go back to New York to be closer to family. I don't think that's really the case. He wanted to go back to the Apple because he had a better chance to take the floor as the guy, the star, on the court. And you know what? He passed on being paired with Kevin Garnett, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. To think that those two, and Barkley said it, Charles Barkley said to both of them at the same time, he said he cornered both of them at the same time before a game started. He goes, you two could be one of the greatest dynamic duos, tandems in NBA history. He said that. Barkley mm-hmm. did. And I have to think that was pretty close. I really kind of think that that could have been the real deal.
Just going back and watching clips since Kevin Garnett's been back, watching, you know, you go to YouTube, you go to Timberwolves.com or whatever, some of the best highlights of Kevin Garnett, and you see him playing with Stephon Marbury, and there was just magic happening. Just, I mean,
it was sick.
Just the curse of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
It could have been.
Ridiculous. But number one on the list, can you guess of the most epic breakup in Minnesota sports franchise history? Number one.
The number one breakup mm-hmm. in, you know, don't say Big Pappy because I would never believe that one.
No.
We've
had him on the show. He was supposed to be.
I would have said Moss, but I mean,
He was supposed to be inducted in the Twins Hall of Fame last year, but then
Chuck
got
Knobloch?
In trouble for beating up his ex-wife.
Okay, Chuck Knobloch.
Chuck Knobloch. Just a season after he signed a $30 million contract extension, I want to say for 5 or 6 years. He said, I'm sick of losing. Pulled a Kevin Love, basically. Demanded to trade, shipped off to the Yankees, $3 million in cash, got Brian Buchanan, Christian Guzman, Eric Milton, and Danny Mata. Obviously, the bitterness long and bright for Chuck Knobloch. I was at the game when, during one of his returns, it was Dollar Dog Night. I was sitting on the right field line just past first base. Unfortunately, wasn't sitting in the student section. It had already sold out. But play was halted twice because the crowd was throwing hot dogs, beer bottles, quarters
at
Chuck Knobloch. Tom Kelly had to go out to left field several times and tell him to stop it, and then had to escort him off the field.
Yeah,
and they had to make it. They were making an announcement over the public address announcer system saying, "If you guys don't stop, the Twins are going to have to forfeit the game." I mean, it was abusive.
Imagine? Can you imagine that? I mean, I've been part of a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, being on the field where. Quite frankly, you're just not wanted. They don't like you. If you're in Washington, you're in Chicago, you're in New York, certainly, you're going to get it from every angle. And they're going to be saying everything. They're going to be screaming stuff at you as you're coming out of the tunnel. And then as you're playing the game, the people sitting down front on those front rows are just getting into you big time. In Denver, we got pelted with snowballs from the upper deck. Wow. The snow was huge the day before we came in. They were able to still make snowballs up in the upper deck and throw them down on the field at us. Oh, my God. And to think that this one could have cost them a forfeit, that much was going on. That bad of heckling and
hot dogs,
and abuse,
beer bottles.
Quarters could hurt. That could smart a little bit.
In Minnesota, I mean, you expect something like that.
New York,
Chicago. Oh, especially in New York.
Yeah.
Not Philadelphia. Minnesota, but that's how much Twins fans hated Chuck Knobloch.
Man.
And then they were going to bring him back into the fold last year. We were talking. We had him on the phone. He seemed like a nice guy. He's like, I made a mistake. I probably shouldn't have gone about that the way, you know. He was basically asking for forgiveness. And then a couple of weeks later, boom.
Again.
Beating up his ex-wife. Because she wouldn't sleep in the same bed with him or something like that.
Well, I mean, it was his ex, and she came back, I think, to be, she was in sleeping with her children at the time that we're staying with him. Yeah. Obviously, like, maybe alternating weekend to weekend, whatever the case. And she was back. And hanging out and staying there with the kids, and they wanted her to stay, apparently, and she slept in there with them, and he came in to get her, and you're supposed to be sleeping with me, I guess. Bang.
Yeah.
Just hit her, or it was a...
I can't remember what necessarily happened.
I don't know if she was hit or not.
I don't think...
I shouldn't have said that.
Obviously, that kicked off what happened in the NFL, and then, physical abuse and all this stuff.
But
I can't imagine the Twins would bring him back this year.
Well, as you mentioned, I mean, for the Ring of Honor thing and the Twins Hall of Fame, it was supposed to happen just weeks in front of it, and they said, no, I guess you're not. You're not part of it. They pulled it from him. I mean, some people just cannot. They're just in their own way constantly. Chuck Knobloch is certainly one of those. Take a little break. Take a huge break if we want one. Wow, is it Tom Schreier? Up. Time has gone by, but Cold Omaha is Tom Schreier.
Tom Schreier, he will be talking to him live from the Flip Saunders' press conference right before the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Any updates on Kevin Garnett? Any updates from Flip Saunders? We'll talk to him about that. Plus, the article, too, that he wrote.
That's a good article. I mean, having a chance to look at this Cold Omaha article, one of our writers from 105 The Ticket joins us every day, and Tom Schreier writes an article about how some of the athletes who have been from the Sun Belt have come here and played, maybe had to go take a leave of absence for a while, but love to call Minnesota their home and come back and make this cold, cold place a spot to land, because it is a fantastic place to live, and people, quite frankly, treat people right here in the state of Minnesota more so than they do anywhere else. And that's what the article is kind of about. And we're going to come back and talk with Tom Schreier right here on Radioactive Sports.
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.